Hey, Universe, welcome back to Power and Grace Radio. This is your host, JJ. This week, Spencer and I get together, talk a little weightlifting, a little CrossFit, and of course, JT's new album. Enjoy. Mr. Arnold, how's it going?
What's up? What's up? Doing well.
I already teased ahead on my Instagram story, which would probably be yesterday when it's actually come out, to guess why you were late, and I didn't get any correct answers.
Yeah, I was brushing my teeth before I go to a dentist because, you know, if you get one more good brush in, like, maybe they won't tell you to floss, you know? Right. Like, that's not really true. Like, they're going to tell me to floss, and I'm going to say, yeah, I know I should do better about that, and then 6 months later, they're going to tell me to floss again, so...
I love
if you're a dentist and you're listening, I'm sorry. I don't know why you would ever pick that profession. You've got to, like, I just don't love teeth enough, I guess.
One of my favorite Jeff Foxworthy bits is I love it because, you know, as a comedian, like, he can just change directions at any point. And we actually saw him
especially
live.
We
saw him live in Dallas, and he just kind of stops, like, after this end of this bit and kind of looks around and he goes, I don't know why my dentist makes me lie to him.
That's funny.
When's the last time did you floss? You did it.
The last time I was here, when you flossed and made my gums bleed all over the place. Yeah. That's about what. Yeah, that's what I'm driving to. That's why I don't like the dentist.
It's awesome. All right, man. We have a lot to catch up on. We actually haven't had a chance to chat about all the happenings in the CrossFit world and the weightlifting world in a while, kind of been back and forth. And the last Power and Grace radio episode took place in a hotel room in Miami.
Yeah,
it did.
That episode, by the way, I think it was more for you guys to have some fun than it was for the listeners. I listened, I was like, they are having a blast recording this thing. I don't know what all we're learning from it, though.
I have no idea. I know we were sitting in this burger joint downstairs. They both just finished events and just kind of sitting there eating and looking around. And they're like, what do you guys want to do now? Like, I don't know. And it's like, well, I have my microphone. And then they're like, well, yeah, let's just, of course we're doing that.
Hilarious.
Very good time, though. Good stuff. So, yeah, Wadapalooza was fun. We did the weightlifting face off, but also another awesome event that went down. The thing just keeps getting better and better.
Yeah, I look forward to that event. I know it had some hiccups on the CrossFit side this year, but no more than any other CrossFit event has or will have. Anytime, especially that event where you get that many athletes and you're sort of leaning on volunteers. You know, at some level, something's going to have a hiccup. But man, that venue, truthfully, all things aside, I'd rather go to that event and that venue than any other CrossFit event.
Yeah. I mean, I went to, I was with an athlete, down at, well, now it's Fittest Experience, not Fittest Games anymore. Fittest Experience.
Right.
And you know, I love it. It's a cool competition. It always runs well. It was on time. Yeah. You know, they moved through everything well. You know, you just can't replicate what they're doing in Miami. Like, it's just can't do it.
Not nope. Doing it. Absolutely.
But yeah, it was a good time. But before that, we actually had, I don't think we've even talked since there was, like, you know, a world's competition in the States and then an American Open, any of that.
Yeah. That was pretty cool. Always good to have that International Weightlifting Federation trust the United States governing body with a world championship. So I think that went off without a hit. Obviously, the highlight, if you're a weightlifting fiend, the highlight was Lasha in the plus category, just destroying a world record snatch. It looked like 60 kilos, just absolutely murdering it. And then subsequently passing the drug test. So
right.
That's two, all right two now. Wins. That's a W right now. So yeah, really, really happy with how that went. Worlds was sick. Our athletes did, for the most part, really well. Super impressed with Harrison Morris and his performance. There was obviously a thousand things we could talk about, but with that, I was happy with how America sort of stepped up to the plate, walked away with our first, you know, grouping of medals in a really long time. You know, Sarah taking gold. There's a lot of really good things that happened there. For America, for its standing, for, you know, sort of especially for the sport as a clean sport, was very happy with how we did. So
yeah, I remember being in front of my my CrossFit class at the gym and trying to like show that, like, give them any idea how much weight he was snatching. Like, guys, now I think you're hearing a number, but I don't think you understand what this is on this block.
Right, like let me load it on the bar for you. That will take 10 minutes. Yeah. When I'm done with that, let me see what you can do with it besides roll it across the room. And even that's gonna take work.
Right, we're gonna do a team workout. You can use as many people as you want. Here's a barbell.
Right, figure out what you can actually do with that much weight. And he, by the way, he's gonna snatch it.
Yeah, he's gonna snatch it.
There's literally nothing in my life. Like, I aspire one day to back squat that. You know,
right. That's crazy. that's like me with Fernando Reyes at Wadapalooza in the liftoff, just like watching the meet go on, and then when I realized that the load is not yet heavy enough for him to front rack it, I'm like, man,
that dude's knuckles are not touching his body right now.
There are multiple reds on each side, and it's not quite enough to push onto his shoulders yet, or to need to split jerk or anything. Kind of a just push press it and drop it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was crazy. A lot of fun to watch. So that was followed up by American Open, and I'm kind of bummed out I wasn't there, because that had to be super exciting to witness one of our own lifters do just so well and in such a dramatic fashion to do, you know, to win the whole thing.
Man, if you go back and listen, I was on a podcast with Travis Mash talking about velocity based training, maybe a month and a half out from American Open, from the final. And I said on that podcast to pay attention to Jordan, that we had figured out a couple things about her training. We'd figured out some stimulus that are really important for her from a development standpoint, using some velocity based stuff. I said, watch out. She's going to go out and shock the world. And honestly, when she walks out there and pulls off a 188, I don't think anybody, like, I was not shocked. It didn't blow my mind. Like, I was super happy for her. And yeah, if you watch the videos, like, clearly I'm pumped that she came out of that clean the way she did, and just crushed the jerk. It didn't shock me. She didn't do anything that day that I went, wow, where did that come from?
Right.
We just figured out a couple things in her training, and she trains like a freaking bulldog. Like, there's just no stopping her. Right. And so I knew her, I knew she was going to do well. We just had a great training cycle leading up to it. I knew that if we could get in the right position with Morgan, we could beat Morgan. And we did, and maybe that's the any given Sunday type thing. I don't know, but, we ended up topping an Olympian, which is always a good day, especially when you're Jordan Dela Cruz. So super happy with the performance. Jesse, gosh, finally got that elusive 217. I think I'm pretty sure it's 217. The one we've been sort of been chasing for a little bit. I was put, and this is sort of the viewers behind the scenes. We got put in a really tough position for me as a coach. And I'm trying to recollect this in my mind. We got a position where if she jumps a couple kilos in the clean and jerk and goes up a couple more, she's able to kind of sneak her way onto the podium, in both, in total. But we needed a 217 for a stipend number and as a PR. And so in the back, there's this battle in between me as a competitor and me as a coach. Like, as a competitor, I put the weight on the bar, right? We add 2 kilos and we go for it. Right. As a coach, you got to think long picture. You got to think long game. You got to think what, PRs and competition are worth so much. They're so rare. And it gives her the number she needs from a financing standpoint to sustain training for long term. So it was such a battle for me in the back. And so we ended up, staying at the weight we needed to get the 217 total, and she ended up getting fourth overall. And it was a weird spot for me. I felt like I could feel myself growing up, like, in that moment. It was like a weird coming of age, because everything in me wanted to put the weight on the bar to go get a medal, right? Like, everything in me wanted to go do that. If it were me competing, we're putting the weight on the bar. Like, forget it, But it was interesting to have to think about them and what they need from a even from a financing standpoint and what's best for them long term in a long game. It was a really neat spot. So we also picked up. Oh, go ahead.
I was just gonna say, it is an interesting spot because now we have you see these two girls who've competed up through the ranks, kind of saying goodbye to their junior careers. And I think that's interesting.
Not quite. Jordan's still got one more year.
Right. But I mean, it's coming to an end, right? Like it's ending for them. Mm-hmm. And now, things like, youth and junior records and competing down at that level, are going away, right? Like it's like having college football players, you know, they're good, but they decided to play through and get to their senior year. And now, now it's coming to an end. And so, that's an interesting standpoint. And I just wanted to get your input on, what is that like for an athlete? I think, weightlifting is such a growing sport that, we're seeing a lot more really, really good youth athletes come up, right? Like, I mean, we're seeing youth records and junior records are just going. They're just churning right now. And, what is that mindset, even from a coach or an athlete standpoint, as you know that this is coming to an end?
Yeah, I think it's, I don't know, man. It depends. I think it depends on the athlete, how you treat that. Jessie, it was, she'd had a really interesting junior career. She never had a youth career, right? So she came into the sport, I think at 17, if I'm not mistaken, never really had a youth career, right? So she doesn't have, that background. She came right in as a junior and immediately started setting snatch records, and so she had her junior career looked a lot like that. And then it sort of took a step back. We had to rebuild some things from a movement standpoint, and now we're slowly building again. So junior year for her junior career for Jessie was super developmental. I think some of the things we did at the back end of her career, we had to start thinking about not necessarily accomplishment as a junior, but let's think about 2020 and 2024. We got to think long term with her and correct some movement patterns, correct some movement insufficiencies and deficiencies, even if that comes at the cost of success as much as it could have been as a junior. Really, the long term goal is like, who cares about the junior records in a real like broad sense, because they're probably just going to get beat by some young gun that we don't even know her name yet, right? We're chasing bigger goals than that. And so for Jessie, it's a little bit different approach. For Jordan, we've got one more year, and she's got some chances just from the way that US or the IWF and sort of the Olympic Federation have done things with clean sports and who they've banned and who they haven't. Jordan's got a shot at a junior world championship, which is a really significant accomplishment. And so that's something that we had to go, all right, do we start thinking seniors for Jordan, even though, I mean, she's a really competitive senior right now, right? Do we start thinking seniors, or do we take one more year, take a shot at a junior worlds? And so I just had to have a conversation with her, like, hey, what do you want? Like, do you want to sort of start thinking seniors and start thinking that way? Or do you want to go chase this junior world championship? And I think we can do both well. I think we can still keep 2020 and 2024 in view while at the same time chasing a junior world championship. And so that's sort of what we had to do with her. It's interesting to think about sort of the end of a era or a segment of their competition history, and considering how that transition is going to look for each of them differently. And so it is like, it's going to look different for both of them. It was really weird. Like, Jordan passed by the time this comes out, everybody will know, right? She passed on her last junior nationals, which was sort of a sentimental issue for her, in order to get a longer training cycle in and development for junior worlds. That's just something we had to, from a maturation and development standpoint, Jordan had to be okay with that. Like, we couldn't sort of break up this long training cycle if she had wanted to go hit some of her goals at junior worlds. So it's just kind of neat to be there in that transition time for them. It's super, super, super educational for me. My first time kind of walking transition through that with an athlete that is high level, a couple of them, I did the transition, but that was nothing for me. It was like, well, your junior's over. Like, guess you got to do seniors now. Like,
congratulations. Here you are.
Here you go. You aged out of having done nothing as a junior, It was just, for me, it was not as complicated as it is for them.
So. And so also when this comes out, actually, I think I've already seen a post on it. You know, both lifters are actually moving very close to you.
Oh, yeah.
Getting there in a few days.
Yep.
You know, remote coaching is, you know, the way of the world at the moment, right? Like, of course, there's athletes in the gyms with coaches, but there's, you know, it's just as common to have athletes that are just getting programmed from across the country. You know, we have the technology that allows that, and the high levels of coaching the athletes are seeking, sometimes that has to happen. But, you know, what does it right. mean for you as a coach to be able to now have these athletes that, you know, you've been programming for and watching videos and talking to and then occasional weekends with to be there and be able to see an everyday for a training cycle?
Well, it's not that different. So they aren't the first to do it. Megan Valentine, also one of our American Open competitors, who, just to flash back to the American Open, she I mean, it's just kind of cool for her. Like, I just remember, like, yesterday she was qualifying for nationals, and now it's sort of standard operating procedure for her to be there and be in the A session. Kind of neat to have not a girl, I mean, she's older than me, like a mom, sort of work her way into that position where it's standard operating procedure. But she moved from Colorado, her and her entire family, four boys, right, Chad, from Colorado to Georgia in order to be in a better training environment, a better situation for training. So she didn't just move, and this is true for Jesse and Jordan too. They're not just moving to be near me. Now, it's kind of neat to no longer have to be reactive in my coaching, right? Like, I'll be able to sit in front of them for most of their or some of their training sessions and tell them, like, no, we need to do this, react this way, think this way, right? Like, and be able to maneuver and manipulate stuff in person. So that's a huge win for me. Most, if all, of my training for them remotely has been reactive. I see a video after I see the results from the end of the day. I see a couple videos. I react to their stuff, and I'll react in programming the next week, and then giving them sort of the technical cues via text or via phone call. It's kind of neat to do it. It'd be neat to have them in person. But the other thing they're gaining is they're walking into a gym that I'm the least qualified lifter in the gym. I mean, Kelly and Caleb Williams, they literally have flags hanging all over their gym from the amount of countries they've competed in. They've got more national championships combined between the two of them, I think, than anybody I know. And so they're walking into a really good training environment with really good eyeballs. And I'm super excited for both of them as young lifters to be around someone, young female lifters to be around someone as experienced and as knowledgeable as Kelly, who, you know, who's got decades in the sport at this point at a high level. Super excited for them in that regard. So it's sort of a win-win-win on all situations.
Yeah, it sounds like it's going to be exciting, and we'll get some, at least some, I think us as fans of weightlifting, it's cool to see a bunch of people training together too. I always like to see that. So see some high-level weightlifting videos coming out.
Well, and the training lineage is passing down, right? Like Kelly, Caleb, myself, all kind of recognize that we're in our 30s. Right. We're on the back end of a pretty lengthy career. And like it's our turn, right? Like it's our turn to pass it down to the next group coming up. Somebody did that for us, right? John Coffey for Kelly and Caleb, Ursula Papandrea, Richard Fleming, Stan Luttrell kind of did that for me. It's our turn. Like it's our turn to invest in this next group coming up, and it's cool to get to do it together.
All right. So let's shift gears around, because it is officially season for CrossFit. We have weeks before the first open announcement is on a Thursday night here. Hmm. This podcast come out, it'll be 2 weeks exactly for the first open. It's weird that it's already here. I feel like we're just getting through and it's ready to roll.
It doesn't feel that way for me at all. Like. It doesn't feel that it's already. I'm like, gosh, could it get here already? It felt so slow. Like I'm anxious. I'm just ready to kick this thing off.
But you know, once it starts, like once that first announcement goes, you're gonna wake up and it's gonna be time to be in Madison. Yeah,
yeah. It's gonna. That's a problem. It's like I told you before the call, man. Like this is, we're gonna hit 18.1, and then it's a blur. Like there's so much that happens between 2 weeks from now and August. I mean, like so much is packed into that time. I'm going to blank. And next, I mean, like, Junior Worlds happens in there. The national championships happen there for weightlifting. You've got the Arnolds, which is a big event for Jesse. You've got Junior Pan Ams. So much is packed into that time. Not to mention all the regionals, not to mention 5 weeks of the Open. It's like I'm going to blink, and we're going to be in August.
Oh yeah. It's a lot going. So, you know, as a company that deals with everything from games athletes to people whose Open is their championship, right? You know, they're just they're weekend warriors who want to prove themselves and better their Open scores and Power and Grace performance, you know, programs for all of that. You know, how do you, you know, what does it look like, you know, organizing and getting ready for something like the Open?
It's funny. I was talking to somebody about that, a new client of ours, about how really I see the world of CrossFit and like groupings of athletes, right? For most of our clients, the goal is to beat their Open score from last year, right? To move up from 1,000th in the world to 800th in the world, right? And for them, this is their Super Bowl, but for them, their Super Bowl W is to move up a greater percentage than they did the year before, right? Like, and so if they do that, they won the Super Bowl, right? Like, we're successful. W, we did exactly our goal. We achieved it. You know, now let's you know, take a couple weeks, relax, and then get back to work. For another group of our athletes, they're looking at, can they break the cusp of the bubble, right? Can they get in the conversation for regionals? I'm not saying they're going to make regionals. I'm saying, can they get in the conversation, right? Can they get in the top 50 and start to make it be a part of the conversation for regionals? For them, it's their wins, their W's are going to be less about their final ranking at the end of the day, which that's important because that's so how they kind of break into the bubble. But for them, it's about their performance week to week, right? So, like, for that athlete, can they make it through the Open top to bottom without a performance that acts as an outlier, right? Can they go week one to week five and not have that one workout that kept them out, right? Even if they don't make the regionals, right, can they have a good, solid 5 weeks of performance without that one workout like it did the year before, that one movement that kept them out? Right. That's our W, right? That's our W. We saw the weakness. We attacked the weakness. We did it proficiently in a systematic manner. And that didn't keep us out this year. Right. Right. And so maybe they move up a couple spots, they move up 10 spots, and move up however many spots, they get in the conversation, but they had a better performance week to week. So that's that second group. That third group is, hey, we're going to break the bubble, make the regionals. Then, you know, they make regionals. And I told this to this guy today. I was like, I could care less. Like, what their body feels like after that, I mean, it should feel like the end of a season for them. Even though they've got regionals still to go, it should feel like their body's ready to shut it down because we peaked them hard, we tapered them right, and it feels like the end of a season for them because that's exactly what we're doing. We're giving everything we got. We dumped all of our marbles into this bucket, and we made regionals. And then regionals, hey, let's go experience it. Let's go learn a ton. Let's train in a smart, safe manner for it, knowing that we just peaked you hard for the Open. Let's go experience, and then next year we reset with the expectation we're going to make regionals again, and then we're prepping for getting better at regionals, right? That's our third group. Our fourth group is, hey, we're making regionals. For sure making regionals. We're trying to improve our performance at regionals, maybe make the games. They're going to approach the Open way different, right? They're going to peak for it. It'll be a mini peak. So if you know anything about track, it'll be like peaking for the county event or the regional event, knowing you've got the state championships coming. If you know anything about basketball, it's like peaking for the region tournament when you know you got the state playoffs coming, right? So we'll kind of peak them in that degree. Then you got the games athletes who, for the most part, we're going to train right through it. We're going to do it one time, maybe two, if it's a workout that we can get some development from, and we're going to keep trucking. So that's sort of how we do it. How we approach that template wise depends on which athlete you are. When do we lift? Do we lift? Do we load the lifts well? How do we load them? When do we do our you know, metabolic stressors? How do we load those metabolic stressors? And how does our active recovery and that kind of stuff look? How many times do we do the workout? When do we do the workouts? All really depends on which category you fall in.
You know, I feel like as the opens progress and the game changes, you know, we always kind of learning things about how best to make those peaks for the open, or you know, prep things, you know, lactic acid buffering, you know, barbell cycling, skills inside our workouts, things like that. Anything that you're toying with this year that, or maybe you're putting an emphasis on this year before we get to the open?
Man, one of the things that I want this year, and I know there's going to be some coaches that think this is the dumbest thing I've ever heard, but I want a lot of our athletes, almost all of our athletes, if possible, to end the open stronger than when they started it. I want them to, and it's not because they trained through it, right? Or they didn't get best performance out of it. But a lot of times coaches shut it down, right? They get to week one and they go into a severe taper mode, and they hold them in that taper or in that decreased sort of decreased volume, decreased training environment for 5 weeks. Well, man, if you've read anything about sort of the nature and progress of periodized programming, you know that, like, man, right after about it, really, if you're being really, really stretching it and really aggressive, after about 2 weeks, your body starts to detrain itself if you've dropped the volume more than about 20-25%. The body starts to detrain. It literally starts to get worse. There's got to be, and this is what we're doing this year, there's a way for you, if you do it smartly, you do it wisely, you sort of weigh and measure all things according to the volume that you've been putting in every day, every week, week by week, there's a way to continue to progress. Maybe not as fast, maybe not as aggressive, sort of with competition in mind, as a way to continue to get better through the open without sort of feeling the detraining process. It's super important if you're a regionals or a games athlete. I think it's just as doable for any of those first three levels as well, if it's programmed, timed, and sort of wisely put into place, how you balance lifting and metabolic stressors and recovery.
Yeah, and it's an interesting sport in the fact that for the open, this injury level process for that, or if it's your Super Bowl, you know, 5 weeks long. Like,
well, that's what's so crazy about it, right? It's not an event.
There's not a lot of sports that, okay, here's your tournament. It's going to be a month and a week.
Right. I mean, the closest thing we got is like March Madness.
Right. For sure.
Right, where you'll play a couple games in a week, and then you're off for a little bit, and then you play another one, a couple games the next week, and if you keep winning, so like, that's the closest thing we got. And so I've paid attention to a lot of how those high level collegiate basketball programs prep and train through the tournament, because it's not a 1 week tournament. It's a multiple week, multiple location. They've got travel built in. They're not training in their home gym all the time. And yet they can't afford to get worse from the first to the end. They can't afford it. Like, they're playing better and better competition. You can't afford to get worse. You can't afford to detrain, right? And so I paid really close attention to some of the principles that you see in collegiate basketball that allows for some of that, because it's not exact. There's nothing exact, right? And there's not a lot of data out there, but I mean, there's some of that principles that carries over from a, you know, regeneration process and how you train through without being buried by training.
Yeah, and like you said, it gets more and more complex as you take a tier up the athlete, and then you're talking about the person who's making regionals or the people that are really games hopeful. They're gonna be on the cusp. You know, I think everybody's kind of on the cusp unless you're a top handful, but then you're, you know, you still got to come and show up for regionals, and then you have to, you know, show up to the game. So it'd be interesting.
The hard athlete's the athlete that made it to regionals for the first time the year before, and they felt so good during the open, like they were invincible, right?
Right.
They just felt unbeatable. And this year, they're not quite the feeling that way because we're thinking about regionals.
Oh yeah.
And the open, they just like, man, I didn't do as great on that as I thought I'd do. I know I'm better than that. Why did I not complete that the way I thought? Well, man, like, you're not at the same place you were the year before, and the sports psychology of that and embracing that mentally. It's really, really hard for competitive athletes to understand that, like, hey, you can feel great right now and you won't feel great at regionals, but I want you to feel fantastic, invincible, bulletproof at regionals weekend. In order to do that, we got to sacrifice a little bit now. And so there's just some of that you have to work with from a psychology and just an athlete maturity standpoint.
any early predictions?
On what?
The Open.
Who's going to win?
No, on the movements. What are we seeing here? What, Castro has twice now said this year is going to be special.
Knees to elbows. We're going to have knees to elbows, right?
God, that'd be so stupid.
Josh, troll me on those knees to elbows. We have. I'm just going to be real honest. We have practiced them. Like, I'm not going to lie. We've done knees to forearm. We've done knees to tricep. Knees to. I mean, we've tried it. Like, that dude's. Maybe he trolled us, and maybe we're victim. Fine. Like, I'm fine with it. Like, I'm not going to be caught off guard with it. Like, we'll try it. We'll make sure we've done some reps. It's not going to be the cornerstone of what we do, but we're going to get some reps in. I don't know, man. I've stopped guessing. I keep saying pistols, but I've said that for 3 years.
Yeah, you have. It's been a long time coming. I'm tired of you saying that.
If I keep saying pistols, eventually it's got to be pistols, right?
Stop saying that.
Maybe it's handstand walk. I think I've said that for three years. I don't know.
Oh, let me guess. Kara Webb's going to win the Open or win the games this year, and
gosh,
we're going to do pistols.
So.
We're going to do pistols in the Open.
Gosh, I hope so. Am I that predictable? That's terrible.
Yeah, it is.
I was pretty close on Kara Webb last year.
Yeah, only 3 years to get to a point.
If I keep guessing, like, my chances got to get better, right? I know we're running out of time with her, but like, eventually it got to be better,
right?
I don't know.
Like, it's interesting because, like, of course they throw new things into the Open, and okay, dumbbells, and the time before that, okay, now we're doing lunges down a length of gym mats, but like the way that he's phrasing it, it's weird. I don't know. He's like, this year's going to be special. It's going to be different to be special. I was like, well, what can it possibly be that's going to be so special about this format?
I don't know. Maybe he goes all time domains, right? It's all for time instead of AMRAPs.
I said all repeats.
Oh, bro. That'd be dope.
That'd be so awesome.
Yeah, no work on their part. Sounds fantastic. Let's go.
Just mail it in 1 year.
None of us got to buy new equipment. Nobody's right. Rushing to Gold's Gym to steal a bunch of dumbbells. Like,
I don't know.
That'd be kind of cool. I'd be excited about that. I don't know. I love the repeat stuff. I know people think it's dumb, but I love it.
Yeah, you can see that.
I don't know. I think he's just saying it's special. He says something every year. I think it'll be your traditional Open. We'll have one repeat. We'll have one new movement. That new movement could be, you know, it could be assault bike. It could be pistols. It could be handstand walk. I don't know.
Dude, if it's assault bike, you might see a revolution. Like, there would be some real pissed owners. Like, they're so expensive.
They are expensive.
Well, here's the thing.
I've got eight of them in our weight room, so we'll be just fine.
Well, now there's – okay, now there's – legitimately 3-4 bikes out there.
Yeah, Schwinn, you got the C2, you got assault bike, and now Rogue's come out.
The Rogue, I got on the Rogue one at Fittest Experience. It is different. Number one thing is heavy, like heavy duty. Like, you know how, like, no, you don't. You've never been on an assault bike after it's been in a warm-up area. After an assault bike's been in a warm-up area at a big competition for a while, it is definitely road hard, put up wet. Like, everything's kind of loose and beat up on it. Mm-hmm. No, you could throw this thing down a mountain, and it would be just like – it's exactly what you expect from Rogue, right?
Right, yeah.
But the fan is massive. It feels like just you're pedaling in mud. Like, everything about it is gross. I like it, but – it's way different. It's different than an assault bike. Like, you can't like hop on and ramp up those watts the same. And so, like, right. That's my question is, when you have equipment like that, you know, oh, we forgot the Zybex too. So that's 5 bikes. So if I know Chris Coker Wiley, they have a whole row of like 12 Zybex. They feel a little different. Their calories are different. It feels a little bit different. They're good, but you can't, how are you going to use that? Like, that would, man, the revolution, like, it'd be some angry owners, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, I think there's some pretty angry owners with the dumbbell thing last year, too. So,
yeah,
like,
but it's a dumbbell, like, okay.
Right, sure, you can go drop some cash on a dumbbell.
Yeah.
But you can't just buy 6 assault bikes, right?
Right, especially if you have, you know, another brand. You already have, you know, concepts.
Right, right. I don't know, man. Part of me thinks they don't really necessarily care.
Nope, probably
part
not.
Of me thinks that Greg Glassman really does care about the affiliates, so... I don't know. I think it's a toss up. If I'm leaning into the Castro world, I don't think he cares. No. I'm leaning into Greg Glassman. I think he considers the affiliate in that decision. Yeah. I don't know.
It's different than the rower because everybody's got the same rower. Everybody's got a concept right. too. It can be Model D, Model E, great. You got the right, background. Right, it doesn't matter. I think that changes a lot of things, but I don't know. We'll see. I still I'm going to be predictable like I did last year and call the handstand walk with the 5 foot tape marks.
Predictable. If you keep guessing, you'll get it right, man.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure I picked the winner of the CrossFit Games in the last year.
Oh wow, you picked Tia Toomey, the girl that got second the year before, man.
The 2 years before.
Gosh, you really went out on a limb there.
Yeah. But I was right. So had I picked anyone else, I would have been wrong.
That's true. That's true. I didn't want to sell out. I'm sticking with my pick.
Yeah. Nice. Cool. All right, man. So. Well. What else are we say we're going to talk about? Oh, JT's halftime performance. I told you I'd give you like airtime on your man coming out and crushing some halftime.
I've never fangirled. Well, that's true. That's not true. I fangirled Fernando Reyes pretty hard on the at the face off. I mean, that dude put up some serious weight. And I got really excited. And daggone Taylor Stallings caught it on video and put it on her Instagram.
Yes, there was a man
embarrassing.
She would have saved it. She made a compilation of Spencer watching weightlifting, and every time that Fernando Reyes would grab the bar, Spencer would just look around to make sure that the crowd understood what was happening.
Like, do you see what's happening? Why are you not more excited? Like, are you not entertained right now?
He's also the nicest dude ever.
Oh yeah, he like, put on a maybe show. On the planet. He lifted more weights than he needed for sure, but. I mean, standing room only, bro. At night, on the bay, with DJ Roland, he didn't have any choice. He put on a sweet show.
Yeah, he, like, you know, he, like, walked up and, like, you know, like, put his hand on my, like, shoulder, which almost knocked me over, and was like, he was like, next year, I bring more people. And I was like, next year, you can bring whoever you want.
Yeah, man, if they lift weights like you, you bring all your friends, all of them.
Do it all.
It's funny. So, yeah, Jake, but for those of you who don't pay attention to the world, and live in a hole and don't have a television and actually don't have as much of a soul as you really need to understand culture. JT is the GOAT. He is. He's my generation's Prince. He's my generation's Michael Jackson. Ever since Mickey Mouse with Britney Spears, he's been killing it, and he's only getting better. So yes, I will fully confess, like, love that dude. Fangirled him hard when he came out on the halftime show. Not ashamed of it. I don't care all those crazies out there that thought the audio was bad or this was bad or that was bad. He's the first that I know of halftime performance that didn't need a second guest appearance by somebody else because he is all that is necessary.
Right.
When it comes to entertainment.
I thought the Prince tribute in Minneapolis was pretty awesome.
Dirty, man. So dirty. And people try to yell at him for that and say this and say that. And then Prince's family came out and said, y'all need to chill. And man, killed it. Yeah. He's great. I'll try not to be so much of a groupie right now. But if you listen to his new album, Man in the Woods, and just listen to it. Like, there's so many songs on there that just scream, I'm not like the NSYNC, you know, boy band kid anymore. I mean, there's a song in there called Young Man where he's singing about like the future of his son. And there's a song in there called Morning Light singing about his wife, Jessica Alba. And then Hard Stuff where like he's singing about like he doesn't want the easy marriage. He doesn't want, you know, he doesn't want the butterflies and rainbows. He wants the hard stuff. Like, there's just some maturity in his lyrics and how he's developed, and from an entertainment standpoint, yeah, come on. I mean, he's been on Jimmy Fallon. He's done movies. He's done everything there is to do. In my perspective, he's the entertainer of our generation.
I will admit, I have listened to that album all the way through. I'm a pretty big fan.
Yeah, he's a stud. He's a stud, and he gets better and better as he gets older.
The title track has been at least a once a day listen to for me.
Yeah, so good.
It is good. It's good.
So good. So good. So yeah, he's coming to Nashville and Atlanta. I'm probably gonna sneak up there to go to the Nashville concert, and pray that Chris Stapleton shows up.
All right, he's also coming to Dallas. I peeked at the dates, so.
Yeah, there's a pretty high chance I'm going to that. So, yeah, there you go. I got a couple of text messages after the halftime show that said my obsession with Justin Timberlake was unhealthy. I disagreed with them and said that I was obsessed and it was healthy.
It was healthy. So. although I give him a W, I also want to give a shout out to Tide, because what they did was just genius and just true. Well done. That's the most creative thing. I feel like Super Bowl ads have kind of gotten they're getting weird. Like people just started doing weird things to try to get sell anything, and then Tide was like, "Watch this. We're just gonna be funny." And we're gonna hire this guy because he was on Stranger Things and it's pop culture and he's not related to us whatsoever anywhere else, and we're just gonna be funny. If you guys missed it, all Tide did was kind of like knock off other commercials, so it looked like it was going to be a car commercial or an insurance commercial, and they'd be like, "Nope, it's a Tide ad." So genius.
Yeah, that was pretty funny. I thought for sure you were gonna say something about the Solo.
Oh, well, that's a given. I didn't know it was coming.
And, Star Wars nerd.
If you know how nerdy I am, like, I know these things are coming. Like, by the way, hey, guys, yesterday when you listened to this, Deadpool 2 trailer got released. It's hilarious. So I didn't know it was coming, and I was in a room full of people, and I was just, like, immediately just like, "Everybody shut up. Sit down. Turn the TV up."
Like, what is this?
Everybody shut up and get in. Like, I knew the Avengers trailer was coming. Like, I was prepared for that. I was not prepared for the Star Wars trailer, so.
Yeah, my brother, who is as big of a nerd as you are, was, like, freaking out. Oh, he's losing it.
Dude, so Disney's just printing money at this point.
They are. Mickey Mouse is about to go on a dollar bill.
It's just like, print this money.
It's funny.
All right, man. Well, we'll get out of here. Wrap this up. I'm sure we'll chat again probably right in the midst of the open or post-open to recap everything.
Gosh, you're giving me anxiety.
It's close. God, it's so close.
Well, and there's going to be something. There's going to be something. Like,
oh, yeah.
Casho is the evil genius. He's the Joker, right? Like, he's going to come up with something.
Hopefully we're not chatting about our athletes continuing to do the same workout for 5 days in a row.
Gosh, dude, please don't. I forgot all about that till you said that.
Yeah, that's terrible. I felt bad.
We fixed that problem.
They're like, "Should I do this again?" Like, depending on where the athlete was standing, I was like, "Yeah, you might actually want to do it again."
It's terrible. The first week, too. Gosh.
All right. Well, we'll catch you later.
Bye.
Hey everyone, thanks again for listening to Power and Grace Radio. If you enjoyed this episode, be sure to give us 5 stars on iTunes, share us on social media with your friends. If you ever want to reach out, we're at Power and Grace Performance, or you can hit me at Texas JJ on any of the social media platforms. See you next time.